I was reading about praise and worship today, and well, over the weekend, and they're saying that this is where the praise and worship is at right now. You know, Chris Tomlin and Phil Wickham and Redmond, they've all been, and a couple more of them, they've all been doing this for a long time, but this is a season that God has raised them up now to come to the forefront, so we know that that's what that God's doing, it's what God's all about. You know, of all the terrible things that are going on in the world right now, as we sit here, we need to have the joy of the Lord deep down inside of us. We need to be stirred up, and we need to just let, you know, just be full of the joy of the Lord so we can put it out on for other people to see it. All the, you know, I was sitting there thinking, God, we can sit here and we can worship you. And in the Carolinas, they're running for their life. You know, their homes are being burned, you know, acre after acre, all out in there. And other places are having earthquakes, 7.5 earthquakes, waiting for the tsunamis to hit. These people have no home. They have no church to go to right now. And I hope that you understand that. And I hope that you really appreciate the fact that God has made a place for you to sit and worship him. Amen. Yeah, I just want us to grasp hold of what's going on here, what God is doing to the body of Christ right now. And he's getting us prepared to minister to those who are less fortunate than us. I mean, they don't know Jesus like we do. They don't have the joy like we do. And they're out there with no hope. What do you think if you was in the Carolinas right now and they're making you evacuate and whole cities are being burnt down? And you're going to have nothing, absolutely nothing to go back to. Wouldn't you feel hopeless? Wouldn't you feel a little bit of despair, a whole lot of despair? And see, but that is the Bible Belt out in that area, so they should know their Jesus. Amen. Well, Brett and Nancy and Aaron and Adam went to see Jay Bartlett this weekend, and Jay Bartlett told them there's nobody around here that does deliverance, and they're so glad that they do have a church that does do deliverance, and they can have some place where they can send people to that, you know, when they go to the meetings to get partial deliverance and they need to go someplace to get the rest of their deliverance. So I am so glad that that you guys are entering in and doing the things that God's calling you for to do. And I'm excited for you too. I know God has great and powerful things for you. And so I was sitting there praising the Lord, and God told me, Kelly, that your husband is very strong, and God's going to use you mightily, Rob, to minister to the lost and dying, and the people are messed up like you used to be. So I want you to hang in there, because God, you wait and see. God's going to start giving you great visitations. He's going to start speaking to you in all hours of the day and night, and he's going to start laying out a map before your face so you can see where he's taking your feet to. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, I see some of you guys have been here. Well, I welcome you all. I looked up. I was shocked. I just had to sort of get myself composed here a little bit. It's so glad to see you here this morning. I hope you came in time to praise and worship. Amen. And God is really good. Well, there's some more coming in. Well, praise God. God is really good. This morning, I'm going to teach about a life of love. See, God told me about Jay Bartlett and Bob Larson. The reason why they are so anointed to do the deliverance is because they have their love walk right. And they said the reason why our people aren't that effective is because they don't have their love walk right. So I'm just going to be honest about the whole thing, all right? If you don't have your love walk right, you don't have anything. And so you have to get that love walk down. And thank you, too, for getting yours down this morning. Amen. If you don't get your love walk down, well then, you know, you're really not, you can't be as effective as God wants you to be. All right, life is about learning how to love. Life is, did you all know that? It's about learning how to love. You know, it's not what we are used to. This is what God wants. Life is full of adventure, triumph, tragedy, and changes that enable us to grow in love and mature in Christ-likeness. Life is full of adventure, triumph, tragedy, and changes that enable us to grow in love and mature in Christ-likeness. Tests and trials are designed to help develop our character and integrity so we can step into the powerful destiny God has waiting for us. Hear what I said. Tests and trials our design to help develop our character and integrity. Is that what God did for you, Rob? Did he do that? See, we think, well, what we're going through is from the pits of hell, and you think there can't be any good come out of it, but always good does come out of it. We are being tested and we are being tried. Why does he do that? So we can step into the powerful destiny God has waiting for us. Tests align us with the plans and purposes God has chosen for us. Excuse me. Jeremiah 29:11 is where you'll find that. Tests are given for the purpose of promotion and increased blessings and friendship with God coming into our lives. See, you guys, all you guys in here have been going through the tests and the trials and the tribulations and all the junk, you know, losing things, gaining things, you know, marriages falling apart. They were all tests and trials, and God was trying to move you to higher ground. All right, these tests and trials, their fire forges a purity and holiness within us. So God's pure light can shine through everything we do in life. He has to get purity in us so that God's light can shine forth from us. And everything is pure. Trials enable us to develop our spiritual muscles so we can win the race that is set before us with grace and stamina. Remember, God says, do not grow weary as we're going through these tests and trials, right? God's plan is for us to succeed, to be the head, overcomers, and light bearers in this dark world. God's plan is for us to succeed, to be the head, overcomers and light bearers in this dark world. That's what we're here for. That's why you've been coming here. That's why God's been teaching us what he has, because he wants to use you in a great mighty way. And he's been getting rid of the junk so that his light can shine forth. And when he sends you out there, the enemy cannot take you out. All right. We bring the hope of God into life's situations when we act with the faith of God in our hearts. Every hard or difficult challenge we overcome through the great grace and faith of God in our hearts enables us to move closer to God's heart and into the greater works that he would have us to do. The thorny trials of today prepare us to be winners tomorrow and champions in the future. The thorny trials of today prepare us to be winners tomorrow and champions in the future. It is comforting to know that God knew us by name before we ever existed, and that our life, purposes, and destiny was completed in him even before we were formed in our mother's womb. Now, I did a lot of intense teaching on that. But before you came here, you were in heaven with the Father. You had a conversation with him, and you agreed to come down here and do specific works for him. And so to do that works, you had to go through the furnace of affliction. Amen. Those tests and trials had to come your way. If not, you wouldn't be able to do the things God called you for to do. When God's word goes forth, it will accomplish what it has been sent forth to accomplish when you go after you're going through this stuff. If we allow the Holy Spirit to write God's words on the tablets of our hearts, we will fulfill our destinies. That's what I like about these songs. They have so much meaning to them. If you really listen to what you're singing, there's so much meaning in these songs. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me unfulfilled, but it will accomplish what I intend and cause to succeed what I sent it to do. Yes, you will go out with joy. You will be led forth in peace. See that? Proverbs 35 tells us that every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. If you have a prophetic word and God told you he's going to do something great, that prophetic word has been tested. It might still be being tested, but it will be tested. Why? Because the enemy does not want you to believe that God has a great purpose for your life. And the enemy is trying to steal that word from you. Deuteronomy 8:3 says he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you. Why did he humble the children? That he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father, out of the Lord. I don't want to change the scripture. See why God did what he did to the Egyptian children? Because he wanted them to know that it was him that was providing. Why are you going through your circumstances? You might think you're the provider, but God's going to let you know you're not. And he's trying to let you see he's the provider. Love covers. When Peter fell away from the Lord, he denied knowing Jesus 3 times, right? When the Lord came to restore Peter back to his first love and into his place as a friend and soul winner, Jesus asked Peter the same question 3 times. As in John 21:1, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing. We are going with you also," they said. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Now this is Jesus, you know, and he's cooking their breakfast. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Jesus said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." See that lambs, that's babies, right? Jesus said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Then tend my sheep." He has to nourish them. He has to minister to them. Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Then feed my sheep." See that? "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, and you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Then he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." All right, so he told Peter, he said, "If you love me," then he said, "feed my babies," newborn again Christians. Then he said, "If you love me, tend my sheep." And these are babies that are starting to grow, but they need to know the word. He said to him third time, then he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So already he tended to them, and now he wants them to go ahead and grow them up so that they can go forth and do the mighty works that God would have them to do. And this is what God is calling each one of you in here to do. You just don't take what you know and keep it to your bosom. You're supposed to go then and teach somebody else what you know. Then they go and they teach somebody else what they heard. And this is how God gets disciples. You're the first disciple, then each one you share your ministry to, then they become a disciple also. All right. Then Jesus said, "Well, then follow me. If you love me like you say you do, then follow me." This is what God spoke to me when I first was born again. He gave me this scripture. And he said, "If you really love me like you say you do, then follow me." So from that day forth, I followed Jesus. You know, I couldn't go along the wayside. I had to stay in the path he set before me, no matter how stony it was. No matter how many pitfalls was in that path, I had to follow the path that Jesus laid out before me. The same with each one of you in here. You'll think that path is going to be clear. There's not going to be anything on it. You're just going to zoom right this, and that's not true. It's not true. The path God lays out before you has many pitfalls in it. But God does say, "I will go before you, and I will clear the path if you follow me and you love me." Love covers a multitude of sin. Jesus knew if Peter was not restored to his first love, in his discouragement, he would return to and lead the other disciples back into their previous secular life callings. Now remember, there was one point in my walk with God about maybe 6 years ago when God said, "Return to your first love." And then he ministered to me because I had so much stuff going on in my life, I really got discouraged. He said, daughter, you have to return back to your first love. And I was just like Peter. If God didn't restore me back to my first love, I wouldn't be here leading anybody anywhere. Are you listening? I'd be out there somewhere doing something, but not leading people to Christ. And so if any of you in here, you've left your first love, then the first thing you have to do is return back to your first love before God can use you to minister to anybody. What does it say? The blind lead the blind. They both fall in a ditch, right? If I went back to my first love, then I would lead you down the same path I was going, which was destruction, right? Where am I at? Jesus? Yeah. Jesus had called each of the disciples, both past and present, to be lovers of God and fishers of men's souls. So first of all, you have to fall in love with Jesus with every fiber of your being, and then he calls you to be a fisher of men. When Jesus died on the cross and before his resurrection, the disciples were left to their way. Were left to their ways, their talents, their natural abilities and giftings. They worked and toiled all night but caught nothing. It is the same with us today. If we follow man's traditions, program, and forget to seek the Lord for his direction, we remain barren and unfruitful. Jesus saw from a different heavenly perspective. His presence brought an abundance, success, and prosperity. If you have the presence of God following you, you will walk in the abundance of heaven. And God will bless, and he will not curse. Now let me talk about that a little bit. If you're following God with all your heart, you're going to have some Job experiences. All right? And we know what happened to Job. He lost absolutely everything. But he never denied Christ. And so what did God do? He restored back to him in the end more than he had in the beginning. All right? You know, when I was going through my Job experience, I didn't know what was going on. And God said, daughter, you're going through a Job experience. And so when I read then really studied Job, I thought, I don't like this. Yeah, because I was like Job, I lost everything, absolutely everything. But as I held onto the hands of the Father, he brought me forth. So if you're going through a Job experience right now and you've lost absolutely everything, keep holding onto the Father's hand, because he will bring you forth and you will have more in the end than you had in the beginning. Amen. I really want to encourage each one of you in here this morning, hold onto the hand of God no matter what you're going through. It's just a test. It's just a season, and it will end. All right, then, we was talking about God brings all his gifts to you. It is the same with us today. If we follow man's traditions, program, and forget to seek the Lord for his direction, we remain barren and unfruitful. Jesus saw from a different heavenly perspectives. All right, and his presence brought in abundance, success, and prosperity. Jesus said, friends, cast your net on the right side, and you will find some fish. So you might be out there fishing all on your own strength. And if you cry out to God and say, Father, please help me because I'm not catching any fish, he could tell you where to go fish. Amen. When the disciples followed Jesus' directions and did things the right way, amen, we have a whole lot of our own ideas, don't we? I myself don't, but the majority of people have their own ideas. And so you go out there trying to do your own ideas and the doors are shut or whatever you want to call it. And then you get discouraged. And then you don't want to work for God, or you just think, well, you know, he doesn't love me anymore. I'm such a sinner. But that isn't true. You went out there on your own. You did your own. God might have told you you were going to do these things, but you didn't do it in his timing. Amen. You did it in your timing. And it wasn't, and God didn't have things set up yet for you to move in that. And therefore, then you got discouraged. So don't be discouraged any longer. Know that God is in control. And if you say, God, if I moved ahead of you, then you get me right again. Make me back up, or make me sit still till you catch up, or whatever. And then, because if God has spoken into your life, he is going to do exactly what he's promised you he's going to do in your life. He will. It will not go astray. He will do exactly what he said. it tickled me. You know, God's told me out how many years ago now to say the glory's going to come. And now I'm here. We're getting ready to get the glory. We're getting ready to get the glory, you know. And I said, well, somebody else has picked it up now. And so I don't feel too bad, you know, that the, well, he said, don't be discouraged because it's going to be a while. But see, he's getting this body of Christ prepared to carry the glory. Some of us were not ready to carry the glory yet. And he's not going to, because it'll kill you. So don't be excited if God didn't drop the glory. He knows the exact time. All right, the harvest will not come in by our own, by our might or by our power, but by following the direction of the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be complete in him. God sees us saved, healed, whole, and complete in him. That's what he sees. He sees the end product, what we are designed to be in the future. God sees us that way. When we hear and receive his written and spoken words in our hearts, you know, your prophetic words that you get, they release the needed power for us to become the person we are in the future. In the future. Prayer, worship, praise, and decrees enable us to bring the future into our now. God's words go before us to prepare the way to open the double doors and establish spiritual gateways so his presence can accelerate the transformation process. When I say God's word goes before us to prepare the way. You know, when I was first born again, before I even was into a spirit-filled church, the first meeting I went to, an evangelist called me up and said God wanted me to be anointed to be an evangelist. I'm still not out on the road. I'm right here, right? I was out there for a season, but God drew me in because I was too green. And he said they would destroy you, so I had to bring you in and get you grown up. Because, you know, I was just walking, you know, like how you are, you walk around, you think everybody loves you. You know, you think the body of Christ is just wonderful and nobody's ever going to hurt you. And then when God pulled me in and let me see what the body of Christ is all about, I'm sure glad he did, because they would have killed me. All right. They would have discouraged me because I just wasn't expecting what I found going on in the body of Christ. Isaiah, I just thought everybody loved the Lord like I did. Did you ever think that? You know, you do something, you just think everybody else is in the same boat, right? And they're not. They're really not. Isaiah 45:1. So that's why he called you, though, so that you could bring them into your boat. Remember what God said. Never go down to their level. Pull them up to your level. Isaiah 45:1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, and that's you, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. He's been holding your hand all these years. To subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings. To open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. This is what God's doing. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Why? That you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. See, if you allow God, he will go before you and he will prepare the way before you. He opened doors that he once opened. Changed by the light. When we are in God's presence, his light changes us every time. Learning to sit at his feet, receiving his love, and giving him our love is all that God asks of us. Jesus has come to me with all your struggles and burdens. Seek my face, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Now that's what he tells us to do. Jabez was a man who was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because she bore him in pain. Jabez didn't want to be known as one who caused pain, so he called out to God. Jabez asked to be blessed with an enlarged measure of God's presence resting upon his life. See what he did? He asked for God's hand to be upon him. This is what we need to be doing right now. He says, be near me and don't let anyone hurt me. God granted his request. Jabez asked for his territory and his borders to be enlarged. If the territory or magnitude of God's presence increases in our lives, like it did in Jabez's life, the level of pain we experience and level of pain we cause others will decrease. Are you listening here? More of God in our lives means more of every good thing will rest upon us. The more you are in Christ, the more you embed yourself in Christ and forget about the world, the more God was going to do for you. He's going to bless you abundantly. He's going to be with you. And he's even when you're being persecuted, he will be there and the persecution will not cause you any pain. because you know that your father is in control. Jabez realized it was God's hand and presence that brought forth the increased measure of blessing, favor, and prosperity in every area of his life. And see, we don't understand that. We say, look what I did. Well, I'm sorry you didn't do anything. Amen. God was blessing you, and you didn't give him any honor for that. He hungered for and desired more of God. See, each one of us in here somewhere, we have to hunger for and desire more of God than what we had before we came in here today. The prayers Jabez uttered enable God to bless him. Indeed, the prayers we offer will allow God to bless our lives also. All right. What God is saying right now is that some of you in here, you really need to submit yourself totally and completely to the Father. Let go of all your desires, all your dreams, all your ambitions. And draw yourself close to God and allow him to give you the things that he desires to give you, the way he wants to give you. He says, he's saying some of you should have been kings already, but because you try to do everything in your own flesh, you tied God's hands, and he was not able to bless you the way he wanted to bless you. So he's saying, so this morning, untie my hands by giving yourself over to me 100%, not holding on to any of your dreams, but asking me to allow you to pick up my dreams for you. That's God's dreams for you. Because your dreams are too small. I have so much more that I want to give to you, but you tie my hands when you just dream small. Amen. He said, think largely all the time, just not every now and then. Think largely all the time so he can bless you all the time. Genesis 18:1, the Bible tells us that Abraham was known by God. Are you known by God? You might go to church every now and then, but are you known by God? I read an article where it says the devil doesn't know half the church. You know. Because they're really not, you know, following God. The Lord appeared to his friend Abraham in his tent. He sent three angels to communicate his plans and share his purpose with Abraham. God, in this dispensation, wants you to have angelic visitations. He does. He's telling me to tell you that. He wants to send angels your way, but you won't allow him to. All right? When Abraham looked up and saw the angels, he ran from the presence of the Lord, bowed down, and greeted him with my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. The angels asked for Sarah, his wife, because they had come to bring the promise of a son to life in her womb, to live in her womb. Their words brought laughter and joy into her heart and opened her womb to receive the promised seed. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? You know, God can do any miracle he wants to do. Amen. I don't want a child. Amen. I'm not thinking that largely. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? See, this is where you tie God's hands. It's nothing's too hard for the Lord. He can do anything. So think largely. Don't think I'm going to hold church in my home. God, give me a big church out on the street where everybody can come to it. Are you listening? Excuse me. At the appointed time I will return to you, the angel's talking to Abraham, according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. See, right then was not the time that Sarah was to have that son. He just told him she was going to have one. He said, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So when God desired for her to have this son, that's when the angel was going to come back again. Then the men arose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? See that? God doesn't want to hide things from you. He said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. You know, God said, should I hold anything back from you, Abraham? God, you know, God wants to tell you everything that's on his heart. Do you understand this? I even say, all right, Father, you aren't telling me anything, and I need to know something about this situation. He said, I was waiting. You know, he wants to always talk to you. He always wants to explain to you what's going on in your life. I know some of you can't swallow this, but it's the truth. And you don't know what's going on because you don't understand you have a right to go to the Father and ask what's going on. Each one of you in here, you should know exactly what's going on in your life at every given second. If you have loved ones you're praying for, you should know what's going on in their life at every given second. Nothing should come as a shock to you. In fact, I think that's what the word of the day for the day was yesterday or today. You know, he wants you to know what's in his heart, on his heart. So why are you not, if you see, you have to draw yourself close to God, though, to do that. And then when you draw yourself close to God, then God's going to share his heart with you. He'll tell you everything that pertains to your life. I have a situation. I say, okay, God, you and I need to talk now. You know, I go, you know, alone with him. And I say, this is what I need to know. And then he starts telling me. Amen. You know, I have certain people in here I call and say, will you please pray about this? They don't hear a thing. So I say, okay, God, it's you and me. You always tell me, and I want to hear from you. What's going on here? Then he just starts opening up and he starts spilling it out. So what, you're no different than me. All you have to do is have a close relationship with the Father. No matter what you've been through, no matter what's going on around about you, you just have a close relationship with the Father. If you never talk to your wife, you don't have a relationship. If you never talk to your husband, you don't have a relationship. You're just two people sharing the same house. You have to have a conversation going in order to have a relationship. And this, you say, oh, I just really do love you, Father. You never talk to him. You never draw alone by yourself to talk to him and find out anything. Well, you don't really love him. Or you talk to him. Don't be afraid what he says to you. Sometimes he's upset with me, but that's okay. I need to know where I'm going wrong. Amen. He knows I don't want to sit in the dark. And I'd rather have the truth than the lie. So what would you rather have? Somebody tell you you're all right when you're not? You know? Or would you rather have the Father said to you, hey, you know, you and I have got to sit down here and talk. Amen. He really wants to visit you. All right, God visited Abraham in his tent, walked with him, and talked with him in daily times of intimacy. And I think about Kat Kerr, the lady with the pink hair. She goes back and forth to heaven anytime she feels like it. Why? Because she has an intimate relationship with the Father. Open communication. God shared his secrets and plans with Abraham, and Abraham shared his heart's desire, hopes, and plans with the Lord. An intimate relationship requires an open dialogue and trust. God granted Abraham his heart's desire for an heir, but the promise was fulfilled only after it seemed impossible. See that they were too old. We must remember God is always present and powerful, so nothing is impossible. Are you listening here, guys? I'll bet, Kelly, if there's one point in your life you never thought you'd ever stand here and renew your marriage vows. See? Nothing's impossible with God. Are you understanding this, guys? What you think is never going to, can never happen, anything can happen with God. Absolutely anything. If we will hide his word in our hearts and seek God's face, we will be able to continually abide in his presence. It is the presence of God in us that empowers us to bear eternal fruit. In other words, no matter what's going on in your life, if you have God in you, you're going to still, your light's going to be bright and it's going to be shining, and all hell could be going on around about you. But your fruit is still good fruit. It won't affect you. Amen. If we live our lives apart from God, we will not be able to do anything. The Bible says it like this, apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:4-5. Abiding in God's presence will ensure that the dreams of destiny that God has sown in each of our hearts will come to pass. David cried out for God to search every part of his life, even his very heart, to discover if there were wicked areas that didn't please God. Do you do that daily? Psalm 139:23. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This morning, laying in bed, I was crying out to God, and God said, "Daughter, stop. I know your heart. Quit bringing condemnation on yourself, and just trust me." Amen. I stop. Because immediately he spoke. He answered me when I cried out. Are you listening here, guys? Our faith and trust is pleasing to God. Fear, doubt, and unbelief brings God's displeasure because he cannot look upon sin. And fear, doubt, and unbelief is sin. You cannot, one time God told me, "Daughter, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick." Your candlestick is your ministry, you know. So I had to get out of doubt and unbelief. If God spoke it, it was going to come to pass no matter what I was looking at, no matter what the circumstances say. How many times has God said to you, "Get your eyes off your circumstances"? You know? Because he knows your circumstances are going to kill you. But if you keep your eyes, God always says to me, "Look straight ahead into my eyes. Don't look to the right or to the left, and don't turn around, because if you do, it'll destroy you. Keep your eyes upon me and just keep walking." In other words, no matter what's going on around about you, just keep your eyes upon the Father. And you know, it doesn't matter what you might think, it's impossible with God. If somebody's harassing you or doing something to you that's really bringing you a lot of pain, give it to God. He knows it's there, but give it. You talk to God about it, and God can do anything. Remember the story I told you about this young man who came to the church one time, and he was going to jail the next day for a long time. I didn't know that. I didn't even know him. He just came in, and so God prophesied to him and told him. He said, "You're going to go to court tomorrow. And you're expecting to be sent away for a long time, but I have news for you. You aren't even going to talk to the judge." Not what else he said, I just remember that. And so he went out and told his wife, "That woman's nuts. Because when I go in tomorrow, I'm going before the judge, and I'm going to wait for a long time." I forgot what he even did. Well, he went into the court, walked into the court next day, and the lady told him, "We can't even find your paperwork. Your case isn't even here, so just go on. You're not going to see the judge or nothing." He has a church today. But he thought the lady was crazy. But see, God spoke the word to him. That's why if you're a prophet, then never speak what you think they need to hear. You only speak what God says, then it'll come to pass. Amen. Abraham was the father of faith, was he not? Abraham's faith in God caused him to receive the promises of God in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, his faith enabled him to be a friend of God. See, God is calling us friends right now. It's your faith that's going to make you a friend of God. We too will become intimate friends of God as we develop our love and faith through overcoming the trials and tests of this life. In other words, you have to overcome these trials that you're going through right now. You have to. Trials empty us of ourselves, making more room for the faith and love of God to reside within us. I'm going through a situation right now. It looks totally, completely impossible with God. I mean, with me, but I know what's impossible with me is possible with God. And he's given me a word. This really has to, a miracle has to be happen for this to happen. But I'm trusting and believe. I have no fear. I'm not walking any, you know, I have peace about everything. Why? Because my Father said, and I believe my Father. Come on. I know it's not me speaking to me. I know it's my Father telling me exactly what he's going to do with the situation. And so the only way you can have that surety is if you have a close relationship with the Father. And how many of you sometimes you say, "God, have you left me? Have you forsaken me?" Because your trials and tribulations are so hard, you would think, where was this loving Father that I serve? He's right there holding your hand. That's what he always tells me. I'm right here holding your hand. But you have to walk through this. But as you walk through it, I walk through it with you. If you read the Bible, in the Bible, it says that Satan comes before God and asks for you by name. And, you know, he said, "Just let me have them for a little bit. And when I'm through with them, I'll prove to you that they aren't going to serve you." That's what he did with Job, right? But Satan does that with each and every one of you. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he immediately goes before the Father and says, "Let me have him." And God told me when he asked him that about me, he said, "Daughter, it's going to be bad. Because he's going to do everything bad he can to you. He's going to throw all of hell at you. Going to turn you inside out, upside down. But when it's all done, you'll be standing on your feet facing me and praising me. And it happened just that way. I didn't think some days I was going to make it. So I'm telling you, you can make it, is what I'm trying to tell you in here. Satan's after you the way he is with the tests and the trials, because he's trying to destroy you before you destroy his camp. Now, are you the mighty man of valor that God called you to be? And I mean women too. Or are you just all mouth? You know, are you really and truly sold out to God? And doesn't matter what Satan does to you, you're going to keep on doing the things God's calling you forth to do. He says, he's telling me right now, he's calling the majority of you to the marriage supper of the Lamb this morning. Because you passed your test, you passed your trials and the tribulations. You've gone through the furnace of affliction as many times as he's going to allow you to go through it. You've come out as pure shining gold. So he's calling you people, you know who you are, you know that what you've gone through. He's calling you to the marriage supper this morning. There's other ones in here that you're still going through your trials and your tribulations, your tests, and you just don't know what's going on. You don't know if God's left you. You don't know if you should believe, if you should not believe. You don't know what to do right now. And God said, you are the ones that I want to touch in a special way today, so that you will know that you know that you know that I am with you and not against you. And I will bring you through every furnace of affliction that you're put through. I cannot stop it, but I will bring you through it. If you want to submit yourself to me this morning and allow me to give you that special touch that'll bring you through, he says, I'll do that. So there's some of you in here this morning, you don't know where you're at right now. You know, because so much junk is going on in your life, and you're just more or less floundering. How many of us have floundered? There's many times we've floundered, but God was always there to say, I'm with you. I'll see you through this thing. God wants to touch you this morning. That young lady there sitting behind Kelly, God wants you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. He's called you from your mother's womb to serve him, to minister salvation to the lost and dying souls. He said, you're going to sing for my glory also. You're going to dance as David danced. You're going to tear down the kingdom of darkness. You're going to bring many, many, many lost souls into the kingdom of light. Life hasn't always been easy with you, daughter, but I've always been with you. I have not left you nor forsake you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. And I want you to know this morning we're holding hands differently than we have in the past. So as you grab my hand this morning, it's in a different way. And daughter, we will be glued together. You will know my heart as well as I know your heart. And you won't have so many questions floating out there, because you will have the answers immediately. I'm calling you to a deeper walk. I'm calling you to solidify your walk with me this morning. Say, yes, Lord. Then follow me with all of your heart. Thank you, Father. So if there's any of you in here this morning that you just been going through something, you don't know what it is. And you just want that special touch from God to reassure you that all is well, even though it looks like all is not well. If you want to come this morning, God wants to touch you in a mighty way. We always do this, and then we do the prophesying after this. But if you want a special touch from God, that the altar's open. God's also saying some of you in here, you're in the wrong river. You're not in the main river. You're in a little side outlet, and he wants you to get in the main river this morning. It's in that main river where all the miracles are happening. Some of you have gone down some side roads, and God's trying to get your feet back on the main road this morning.